You're listening to the Westchester Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ.
Good morning, church. It is great to be here with you all this morning. Who here was at the first youth and family devotional that we had on Friday night? I know the major people who were there just left to go to class. But it was an awesome time. It was a fear factor competition between our parents and our youth ministry. And there was some singing. You're not afraid of singing in front of people? So they had to take a song and then sing it in a different style. It was great. We saw our winner from that competition was definitely Aiden Mullen, who did a metal screamo version of This Little Light of Mine. And it was epic. There were some great dance moves. We had Armando taught us how to do the Tom Brady to ABBA's Dancing Queen. And it was a fun time. But what ended up happening is it came down to our final round. And our final round was a matter of iron stomach. And our contestants had to consume pig snout. Pig snout. And needless to say, the parents won by a nose. Yeah, they did. It came. It was a big victory. It was a lot of fun. It's all right. The youth will get them back next time. Next time we do it. But I wanted to talk to us this morning. I spent I guess it was 2 weeks ago now, out in Illinois. Some of you know I'm in seminary. I'm in graduate school, and I just did a whole kind of intensive week, 8 hours a day, on worship. And it was incredible. It was incredible. I loved every moment of it. It was great being able to ask just tons of questions, being able to learn more about God and about worship. But one of the things that stuck out to me the most was communion and talking about communion and how communion fits into our worship of God. Now, I think I had a perception of what I believe communion was about and what it should be like from growing up and going to church kind of regularly. I grew up going to a Roman Catholic church. And I started to see how, as I learned, that some of the preconceptions that I had about communion, some of them I was wrong in the way that I perceived some of my upbringing. Some of it I realized, whoa, this is different. There's something incredible that's going on. It refocused my understanding of the Lord's Supper and the time that we spend together. And so what we're going to be talking about today, our sermon is Communion, the Story of Grace. And we've been talking about grace. We are going to continue that theme. But we're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 17. Paul says, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you." That's a great way to start off, right? "For your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person goes hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For what I received from the Lord, I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further instructions. Amen. As always, as we attack any passage of Scripture, context is key, right? We have to know what he's saying and why he's saying what he's saying before we can understand how it applies to us. And so when you look at the greater context of 1 Corinthians, Paul, he likes to use this imagery, this theme of the body. Right? You may know he's talking about the eye can't say to the ear or to the... It's kind of like he's got a little game of hokey pokey going on and put your right hand in, right hand out. Yes. He's talking about different parts of the body and how they fit together. And he uses it in multiple ways. And so we are going to break this verse down into kind of five little sections here, so you can kind of walk through what he's saying and what he's talking about. And so when we talk about the what is Paul addressing here? Division. So everything that he says after this needs to be read in the context of divisions and unity. Divisions and unity. And why? Well, it seems like their communion meals were a little different than ours. For one, they were actual meals where they would sit down and eat. And what people, they were kind of like potluck dinners. Not kind of, they were potluck dinners. So people would bring food from the different houses, and they would get there. And as people who were wealthier did not have to work as quite as long hours. And so they would arrive to the gatherings early, because they could show up early to the party, right? Now what was happening then is they would get there, they'd show up, and any of you who know, you know this, if you've ever shown up late to a potluck, what happens? You are out of luck. All of the good food is gone, and all you've got left is little scraps, if anything at all. And so this was a huge point of contention for the early church. Why? Because some of the people were getting there, and they were eating and drinking their full to the point of gluttony, to where Christians were getting drunk in church. Wow, isn't that crazy to think about? And then what would happen is, The people who were working, right, the long hours during the day, generally the poor people in the church, would show up late. And are they not the ones who would need the food the most? And now they're sitting there and they're starting to be this harboring of resentful feelings between the two groups. Because on one side, those who are less wealthy, they're looking and they're saying, well, they're envious that their brother and sister can sit there and eat with no concern for their needs. With no concern for their needs. And then the wealthy folks on the other side, they're in sin because they're being gluttonous and drunk, right? And they're sitting there and they're like, what are you complaining for? I brought this food in the first place. It's my right to eat it. And so it started to cause this fight, this division. And so Paul is basically, he's saying, how dare you? How dare you sit there and think only of yourself during the Lord's Supper? Shouldn't you be sitting there and thinking about your brother and sister? When you partake of this one loaf, are you not saying that you are one body? That you are together? That you are caring for each other's needs? And so he calls them to this. And eventually we see, he's like, look, if you're just going to go ahead and do that, and you're like, well, I'm hungry, I got there, I had to eat early, right? Sometimes you go to a potluck right from lunch, right from work, you're starving, and you can't help yourself because the food looks great. I know, we have some fantastic cooks in our church. I feel it. Right, they're there. And so they just help him. He's like, well, if you're going to do that, just eat at home before you get there so that there's enough for everyone. You shouldn't be causing this, that you should not be flaunting your wealth. You shouldn't be showing how God has provided for you at the expense of somebody else's well-being. And that's actually before chapter 11, in chapters 8 through 10. That's kind of what he's been talking about, that those who are strong should give up their right for the sake of the weak. And so he comes to this solution, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time. And he talks about Jesus and celebrating the Passover feast with his disciples. And he says, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way he took the cup, and he said, this is my blood, right? This is the blood of the new covenant. And so what is he talking about? Well, in order to really get it, we have to understand the Passover feast a little better. Now, I know this is going to be, we're going to put the pieces together at the end. Okay, you're with me so far? Okay, good. So what they would do is they would sit down, and God commanded them to celebrate the Passover meal. What was the Passover meal a celebration of? God delivering the Israelites, right, from Egypt and allowing them to pass through the Red Sea. There's all the plagues, the miracles. And so they were to sit down and eat and celebrate it so they never forgot what God had done for them. Right? Doesn't that sound like communion? So that we don't never forget what God has done for us? Okay, so what they would do is they would sit down and they'd have a plate of unleavened bread. Right, matzah, you'll see when we take communion, what do we have?
Unleavened bread.
It's great, right? They would have bitter herbs, a mix of fruit and nuts, some roasted shank, or the meat for them. They would have parsley or green herbs, and they would also have a roasted egg. If many of you, we got Easter coming up in a few weeks, and if you're wondering what eggs have to do with Easter, it is not connected to a bunny. Right, the egg at Easter time that people hide and they go about, that's actually connected to the Passover feast. Cool, right? Yeah, next time you look at it, you'll be like, whoa, this makes sense now, instead of thinking, money, what? Eggs? So yeah, it has to do with this. And then they would set out 4 cups of wine and then a special cup for Elijah. And they'd sit down, and usually it was the head of the household. And they would say, let me tell you the story of the Passover and how God redeemed me, how God led me out of Egypt, out of slavery. Huh. Now when we think about remembrance, we think of remembrance as a mental exercise. oh, remember that time we did this thing and, you know, it happened and it was fun? And yes, you remember it? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'm being very specific right now, I know. But that is not how a Jew would think about remembrance. To them, remembrance was more of a I guess probably our closest equivalent would be a reenactment. Right? You see Civil War reenactments. What's the point of a Civil War reenactment? To bring the history of the past into the present so that we can see it, so that we can live it, that we can understand it. It's not just when we think about the Lord's Supper, it's not a mental exercise where we think about, oh yeah, Jesus died on the cross for us. It's actually a time where all of our senses are being engaged in an act of worship. When you taste the bread, we're thinking about the bread that was eaten at the Last Supper. They're thinking about the bread that the Israelites, as they were crossing through the Red Sea, that they ate, that sustained them. And so as we are reenacting this, you have to understand even these things, the different things that I mentioned, they had a very symbolic meaning. Now symbolism, again, the way that we think of symbol is very similar to the way that we think about remembering something. Right? We think about it as something that happened in the past, and this is just a reminder thing. But symbolism to them, it had a very real meaning. And I think we as a church, we understand this very, very well. Think about it. What is something that is a physical action that we may talk about sometimes at our church that in some way helps us, that we believe that God is present in it? Begins with a B. Baptism. So we understand this concept in one way, that there is a joining of the physical and the spiritual world happening. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord's Supper is to the same extent. It's for a different purpose. But there is, God in some way is present with us as we take the communion. It is a meeting of the physical and spiritual world together as one. It embodies the history of everything that's going on. And you think about this, we understand this a lot because there's kind of two, there's three aspects to the communion. There's the past aspect of it, what God has done. There's the present aspect, what God is doing. And the future aspect, what God will do. Now, there are a lot of cultures that understand this very, very well. You think about, like, people who really, they think about their culture, their heritage. It's not just something that happened in the past to them, right? It's something that the experiences that not just they, but their ancestors went through are alive and well. They have shaped the individual to be who they are. It's a recognition that we are not just separated from our past, but that we are the product of those who have come before us. And so Jesus, as he's talking about this, this is my body. That my is a plural my. It's a plural my. He's taking the Passover feast. And he's saying, okay, so the Passover feast was the story of the people of Israel. Now I want you to understand, this feast, this Lord's Supper, this is going to be the story of our people. The communion. The story of our people. The story of redemption. Right? When we think about the story of redemption, we think how God created us. Then we wandered in sin. Then in some way we encountered Jesus, right? We learned about Jesus. God sent him into our lives. We were redeemed by him. And now we await when we can be with him forever in heaven. That is the story of salvation. That is the story of grace. And you know what's cool about it is on a very macro level, that is the story of salvation, but on a micro level, that is your story. When you think about your testimony, when you think about your life with God, you think about how God made you, right? It was at a unique time, at a unique place, how each of us rebelled against God in some way that was unique to us. But then after that point, even though the pattern has been similar, our stories start to sound the same. Our stories sound the same. We meet Jesus. We encounter Jesus through His Word, through God sending people into our lives, through Him teaching us. And so the story of grace becomes our story, both individual and our collective story. The cross is the story of my people, Christians, the story of God's redeemed. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful truth. And so we do see this very, very corporate, almost, aspect to communion. It's not an individual thing. It's not an individual time with us and God. It's a time where we commune and connect with one another. Oh, man. I love that. I love being able to think about that. I encourage you to go home and to write kind of, as you're thinking about your history of grace, your communion story, you can write it out. Write out, and you can try to keep it short, right? But talk about those things. Where God placed you, how you wandered from Him, how you came back, and then just think about what it will be like when we're with Him forever. Now, as we get into this, now we're going to get into some of these tricky verses here. Some of these tricky verses in 27 to 32. And this is probably the one that, or some of the ones that I think I've misunderstood. And at least, definitely both in practice and in intellectual understanding. And I think at least we can say, in some ways in practice, we have not done, I don't want to say we've done it wrong, but we've missed a piece. That's probably a better way to say it. We have missed a piece. And he says in verse 27, "Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink the cup." Whoever eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. So what is he talking about there? What does it mean to take communion in an unworthy manner? Well, I think in the past, I used to think about it as this. If I were in great amounts of sin, I should not take communion. Maybe that's how you've thought about it before, or maybe you've never even thought about communion as an important part of worship. But I think that's kind of what I grew up thinking. I grew up believing that I needed to confess to somebody before I took communion. Now here's the thing, guys. Are any of us worthy? Okay, so we're caught in kind of a catch-22 situation here then, right? None of us are worthy, so then none of us should be able to take communion. But Jesus clearly says, do this in remembrance of me. So what does it mean to take communion in an unworthy manner? Well, it goes back to that first part. The unworthy manner is if you are taking communion and only thinking about yourself. What? In some ways, it's very similar. It's very similar. You think about Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus is talking about, he says, if you are going to bring a gift up to the altar, and you know that your brother has something against you, first go and reconcile with him before offering your gift. It's very similar to that. He's saying, look, an unworthy manner here is if you know that you have something against your brother or sister that is keeping you from being unified, you need to go reconcile with them before you take communion. Because in taking communion, you are proclaiming that you are a part of the one body. Right? He says, without discerning the body. Which body is he talking about? Well, he's kind of got a double imagery. One, he's like, first you got to think about Jesus' sacrifice. Right? The story of grace. And then grace should motivate you to forgive others as you have been forgiven. And so as he's talking about these, he's saying, do not take communion. Don't do it. Don't make a proclamation that you are unified, that you are living in harmony with your brother and sister unless you've, one, first made sure that you are holding nothing against them and that you're making sure that your brother and sister's needs are met. Wow. Wow. This is crazy. So communion, then, is actually a time of... I know, this is going to sound crazy. Communing with the people around you. Whoa. Communion is about communing with the people around you. And we see that. It's about seeing yourself as a part of the bigger picture. It's about seeing yourself as the body of Christ. And I know this is hard for us because so much of American culture, and I know I'm guilty of this too, is centered around the individual. And it's not centered around the community. But communion, like the Passover meal, was done in a meal setting. And so they're sitting there, right? If you've ever been to a meal setting, a potluck, what are our potlucks like? There's a little bit of chaos, yes. There's a little bit of a frenzy. I know that we when you're earlier on in the line, I see you guys do a great job with this. The first couple people to go, you make sure that you don't take everything. You just kind of grab a little bit, right? I know you guys are pro at this. You're pro at that. But it's a time of communing together, and it was a celebration. What did they celebrate about? Now, they talked about Jesus' death, but the first century Christians spent a lot more time focusing on the resurrection. Because it was a celebration. The Passover, celebration. God has delivered my people. How? Through the Red Sea, right? Through the plagues. How has God delivered us? Through Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection. It is an awesome time where we get to celebrate the communion together. And so I want you to take some time, and I'm going to ask you guys to do the communion a little bit different than we've done it before in light of some of these things. It's okay, just bear with me. It's all right. I tried to do something similar to this 2 weeks ago while I was away. And they did it where you took the piece of bread and we're not going to do this, but dipped it in the cup, and I ended up spilling grape juice on myself. It's just, that's how I do, you know, it's my life. anyhow. But our potlucks are not silent times, are they? No. It's quite the opposite. And so I know this may be a little, this idea may be a little uncomfortable. We're gonna kind of go someplace in the middle. Is because there's a communal aspect to communion, is I don't want you to just sit and take the communion by yourself. I'm hoping that as our ushers are gonna come down, they're gonna hold the communion tray for the person on the end, and they're gonna serve the person on the end. They're going to hold out the tray for them. You can go, you can still grab your piece and eat it and drink of the cup. But then you're going to take it from them and you are going to serve the person next to you. And then, this is where it's going to get really crazy. okay, is that after the tray has gone past you or a couple of people, I want you to grab a person or two sitting next to you and just pray with them. Pray with them. Let's understand that we are proclaiming the story of God's grace. How He's worked in our lives, and how this is a joyful time of celebration where we get to talk about what God is doing. And if you need to take some time, you know, let's say you were coming here to church and on the way here you had a fight with something, you know, with the other people in your car and you're sitting next to them. Take that time to apologize, to reconcile, right? To do that so that you're not holding something against your brother, that you can actually make this proclamation of unity, of love, of the Lord's Supper, how Jesus has delivered us, because you're saying, that's not my life anymore. That's not who I am in Christ. That was my story, where I was selfish and in sin and trying to do things my own way, but now, because of Christ, I am different. We are different. We are made new. And so we've left that life behind for the life that we have ahead in Christ. So as our ushers are going to get ready to come down, let's go to God in prayer and really reflect on how as a church we see ourselves as a part of a bigger picture. We are we follow the typology of salvation on a very big scale and on an individual scale in our lives, that we may reflect on the body of Jesus and our body as a church. Let's pray. Father, we remember that Jesus, as He was at the Last Supper, He gave thanks, and we give thanks to You for all that You do in our lives. We're so grateful for how You take care of us, how You've taken us out of darkness and brought us into the light. We know that You protect us, that You care for us, that You allow us to come together as one family, as one church, as one body. I pray that You help us to discern Your Word, to discern Your Spirit, to know what You're calling us to. God, I pray that You help us to put to death our sinful, selfish nature. And that those of us who know that we need to reconcile with someone sitting near us right now, that we do so. That we put ourselves to death because we know how much You have forgiven us. God, we hope to proclaim Your coming until You come. And that we get to return home with You. Let us meet each other's needs and care for each other deeply. Thank You, Father, for Your body. Thank You for the blood of the new covenant. We love You, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.